Sorry for the interruption. I had a wrong button hit. I'd like to talk about dealing with fear. I heard once upon a time by one of the staff, they mentioned that when people are from birth, people are afraid of two things: loud noises and falling, impacting from a fall. We get over our fear of loud noises. But we don't get over our fear of falling. And why is that? Well, one possibility, and that seems to be consistently true regarding fear, is we learn what it is that's making loud noises. And we trust that just because it's loud noise, there's no reason to fear. So the two things, knowledge and trust. When people are climbing, there is a natural inclination to be concerned about losing one's grip and slipping. And that's why when we're climbing, we have helmets and harnesses, ropes that we have inspected before we use them. And gear that can hold that a person's weight many, many times over. So, but the important thing throughout the session is to watch for those signs of fear and anxiety. Because the other thing is that people are in an uncertain environment. Surrounded usually by people they don't know, or sometimes they're surrounded by people they do know, and they are uncertain as to what that person's going to do in the case that, or the others might do in the case that the person does something embarrassing. What will happen in the future? So, looking foolish, appearing inept. And so forth. So those are things that can cause fear. Now, fear can manifest itself in a number of ways. Fear of when you're doing a trust element, particularly the willow in the winds, watch for the participant's feet. Are they moving? Do they bend their knees? Are they shifting their weight? Well, that's a concern about the trustworthiness of the spotters and possibly fear of something. The other thing to look for is change in their attitude. They might be fully participating, having a great time, and suddenly they start getting pensive, not fully engaged. If you have a group that there's a couple that seem to be distracted significantly, chances are what it is, they're looking for that comfort zone where they feel more confident. Now, what to do? Let me see. The other thing to look for is a participant that's exhibiting rather unrealistic confidence in their ability. That's bravado. That's a, I've got to be first. Yes, I'm ready to do this. Chances are what their focus is going to be on is achieving a goal. And when they're focused on achieving a goal, they're not going to be mindfully aware of what's happening in the process. If you see that, it's your game, your space. What you might do as a suggestion is say, well, we're going to change the order around and then have them second or third. Same thing happens if you have a participant, particularly a younger participant who has older siblings or parents around who are highly, highly encouraging, that's a time when you need to set up the game, set up the activity to give that youth the opportunity to back off, wait a bit, possibly decline, leave open the possibility of being able to do it later in the future. But every single time I've seen a youth encouraged to be the first one up on an element, it's not been a good thing. Down at Goshen, they had a family day. They're running the zip line. And it was, zip line is a heavy lift. It's not a fast element. When you have 20 people show up and you've got an hour, it's going to be hard-pressed to get all 20 through unless everybody is ripping through at a pretty snifty pace. Well, the group was allowed to pick who went first because there were multiple family groups. And within the family group that won the rock, paper, scissors type of thing, the youngest boy in the group was picked by his uncle. So this fellow seemed to be confident that he could do it. Well, he climbed all the way to the top, got on the platform, and then 15 minutes later, he decided to come down. Now, remember, COPE is all about challenge by choice. That means if you're standing on the platform, and I mean, if the participant is on the platform, you may not push them off. You may not assist them to leave. They have to step off. And this poor fellow was standing on the edge for 15 minutes, couldn't move a muscle. So what would have been better is, and what I like to do, is any adult that is acting as the coach, we inform them that National Capillary Council has a policy that before you can coach, you have to demonstrate. And you do that in a friendly, helpful way, but very, very firm and insistent. That usually works. Now, about the comfort zone, learning zone, danger zone on page 41. Good guides, good guidance, good ideas. We've found that the education zone, however, or learning zone, tends to be a lot smaller than that, a lot more narrow than that until people develop their confidence. So, but that's what we're trying to do in COPE, is to help the participants discover where their danger zone is and then back it off just a bit and reflect upon what happened. After a group has accomplished something, or when there's been a learning moment, is a great time to circle the group up and reflect on, now what happened? What was the sequence of activities? Why did that sequence occur that way? You felt very uncomfortable. Okay, and then what happened? Now, going forward in the future, how might you use that? Because, again, one thing that the climbing program and the COPE program does that's different than any of the other programs in BSA is to allow participants to get in a place of fear and help them learn to deal with it. Because think about the times that you were last afraid. How much of that was due to something you didn't know and something you were afraid was going to happen? And, or how much of it was you didn't trust something or someone? And think about, if that happened again, what could you learn ahead of time? And is there someone that you could reach out to, or something you could get that you could trust would help you? I'd be very interested to find out, if you did that, if you would still be afraid. So, any questions on fear? Oh, I forgot something. When a participant is about to climb, or if they're declining to climb, and you suspect very much it's a matter of fear, what I would like you to do is practice or try out the, well, what I want you to do is climb about 2 feet. Then the belayer locks them off, and I say, now climb down. And I would be very interested if that helps alleviate much of the fear, because that shows them this gear is strong, it's sturdy, the belayer knows what they're doing, and you can trust the gear and you can trust your belayer. We've also found being very effective if someone gets about halfway up and goes, I can't go any farther. What you could say, you've already gone about halfway, and you've learned how to get to that point. So it's basically the same thing over and over again. That's tended to be pretty effective. Chuck, James, you got any thoughts regarding fear management?
Well, when I'm good if in, with real rocks or even with using a Cope tower, I always start off with what I call a standing rappel. Somebody's in a harness and they're standing on the ground and they're hooked to a rope over their head, and all they do is leave their heels in one place and rappel their butt to the ground. Do that a couple of times so they can just get the feel for the harness, get the feel for the braking, understand that, hey, you can brake yourself with two fingers. And then just like you said, when we go to the bottom of the tower or the bottom of the cliff, I say, okay, everybody, you're gonna climb up, 4 feet and stop, and lock off, and put sit back in your let go of the rock, let go of the wall, put all your weight in the harness, feel the stretch of the rope, feel that the belayer's got you, and then ask the belayer permission to lower, and have the belayer lower them down. And the same thing, if you are gonna climb and rappel on the same site, you have them climb up 4 or 5 feet, hook in their friction device, often a figure eight, and rappel down 4 or 5 feet right there at the base of the cliff while still on belay. And then that really builds confidence, and then unhook their friction device, and then they climb all the way up to the top. And then rappelling from the top is no different than rappelling from the bottom. It's just a lot less scary if you're only 5 feet off the ground.
Thanks, Chuck.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, hey, Jeff.
This is Jeff. Hey, real quick, I remember my first zip line experience, and to say that this old guy was a little anxious was an understatement. But I was just amazed that I felt like I could just sit down and go because of the confidence of the guys coaching me through the process. They assured me of the safety, and I just never forgot the comfort level and the confidence I had and the people watching after me that I didn't have to worry about being hurt or going wrong. They had everything under control.
That's a good point, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. And that touches on something that I've also noticed most everywhere else too. When it's your game, be confident in your game. If you rush, well, actually, now that I think about it, wanting to rush through something is often a hidden expression of fear or a response to fear. So, which also means that when you guys are running a high element, we need to practice this a lot so you can say with confidence, I know a lot because I've done a lot. Thanks, Jeff.